Thanks to the worship team this morning. I was actually kind of nervous, as I am before every message. And for a moment during worship, I forgot that I had to preach, and which is a really nice feeling on a Sunday morning. And then after worship ended, I realized I had to come up here. And so here we go. Today's message is actually an important one to me. And I hope it addresses a question that's relevant to all of you, which is, does our work matter to God? Sometimes you wonder, you go out in your daily life, and you wonder if your regular job that you do Monday through Friday, does it have anything to do with God's work in this world? Does it have any relevance whatsoever? We're going to look at a very fundamental passage to try and answer that question today. Maybe on Monday morning, you guys aren't going to be here. You're going to go somewhere out there. Maybe you're going to go to a workplace of some kind, an office for a building or a healthcare facility, a government agency of some sort. Maybe your life will take you on the road. Does what you do during that day have any relevance? Does it have any purpose? Maybe on Monday you're going to go to school. You're going to be there from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. or longer. You'll do some extracurricular activity. You'll come home and do some homework, hopefully watch some TV alongside that. Does any of that matter? You're going to repeat that probably a couple hundred times this year. Does that matter? Maybe on Monday you're not going anywhere. You're going to be at home. You have kids to take care of. Maybe you have young kids to take care of. And so you're going to spend your day changing diapers, cleaning up after them, trying to make sure they stay out of trouble. You might not talk to another adult for the entire day. Does that little world of yours matter? Or maybe on Monday you're going to come to church or a Christian ministry, and your work brings you to the world of ministry. Does that work matter more than everything else that we just talked about? That's what we're going to talk about today. For the purpose of today's message, when I use the word work, I really mean the word vocation. Vocation is a word that means a calling from God, a role or a job that you've been called to by God in service of others. You can have multiple vocations working at the same time. For example, I am a father and I am a husband, both vocations that I've been called to by God in service of others. I am a neighbor and a citizen, also vocations from God I've been called to in service of others. But from a career perspective, I'm also a businessman. I also serve at this church, also vocations from God that I have been called to in service of others. So as we go through today's message, maybe you can think about the different vocations that you might embody. I'm sure there are some that take up more of your time, so that might be the most relevant. And we'll go from there. Let's pray before we begin. Father, thanks so much for this opportunity to approach this topic. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be here. All we desire is for your words. We desire for your wisdom, and we desire to come away with your worldview. So would you open up our hearts? Help us to hear your words today. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage that we're going to focus on today is the Genesis passage, and it's not even going to be the whole passage, really just the end of verse 28a. But let me read the passage again, and then we'll dive in. Genesis 1, 27 through 28a. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. We're going to spend most of our time today talking about the very tail end of that verse, filling the earth and subduing it. But let me set the outline of what we're going to do today. First, I want to establish some context on why this passage is really quite amazing. And I hope that as we see the forest, we'll be in awe of this passage, and then we'll kind of dive in and look at the trees. We'll ask a couple questions. What does it mean to fill the earth? What does it mean to subdue the earth? And then finally, how does that impact how we view our own work? So that's what we're going to do. All right, let's begin with why this passage is so interesting and special. First of all, this is the first interaction between God and humanity in the Bible. We are on, literally, the first page of the Bible. We are in Genesis 1, and God has just finished creating the universe, creating the world, creating the earth. He has created man and woman, and this is the very first thing he says. I asked my 9-year-old daughter, Maddie, what do you think God said to people right after he created them? And she came up with a logical answer, which was, welcome to the world. And I thought that's what I would think if I hadn't read this passage. But somewhat surprisingly, God does not say welcome to this world. He actually gives us a blessing and a calling around our work. He gives us a purpose and a role in His creation. So if you ever doubt the primacy and the importance of your work to God, you don't even really need to turn past the first page of the Bible. Because the very first verse of the Bible, we find God in a work day. We find Him working 6 days. And when He completes those 6 days, He gives us a calling, which is also to work. And so clearly, work is at the center of what God has to say to us. Another reason this is an amazing passage is because in some way, God is calling us to make His good creation better. If you read the creation account, at every point in time, God stops and says, "This is good. I've created the heavens and the earth. I've created the day and the night. This is good. The vegetation is good. Everything is good." And then He calls us to somehow contribute to this good creation, to add to it, to benefit it. And if we are to benefit a good and perfect creation, how much more are we to benefit a fallen one like the one we live in today? And we'll talk about how we're going to do that. Lastly, I just want to reorient ourselves a little bit. Often I feel like when we talk about working for God or serving God, where we naturally go to in our minds is Christian ministry roles or traditional Christian ministry roles. We think of roles like pastors and missionaries and evangelists and folks who work at Christian ministries or explicit Christian ministries. And that whole apparatus of Christian ministry largely exists to bridge a broken relationship between God and humanity. But when this command is given, there is not a broken relationship between God and humanity, which means that God has in mind a vast menu of roles for us to contribute to His creation, for us to add to His creation, that don't necessarily have anything to do with what we think of as traditional Christian ministry. We're going to talk about what those roles mean. So hopefully that sets some context about why this is such an interesting passage. Let's move on to ask the first question, which is, what does it mean to fill the earth? I apologize to those of you who like the first half of this calling, which is to be fruitful and multiply. I'm intentionally not emphasizing it today because it's always so emphasized, and in my own frame of reference, whenever I thought of this command, I always thought of it as God calls people to reproduce after He created Adam and Eve. And of course, that makes sense, because if you only have two people, you need to reproduce to ensure the survival of the species. But there are 7.3 billion people in the world today, so reproduction has happened. But the question is, what are we all supposed to be doing in this world? And the first portion of this command is to fill.